Good morning, everyone. This morning, I want to speak to you about the subject of how is your thinking. For about almost 2 years now, since the pandemic started, and we were locked down and we couldn't travel, at least not as extensively as before, and all the limitations placed on all of us, I'm sure all of us did a lot of thinking. Well, I love to think. I'm thinking all of the time. One of the reasons I love road trips, Kathy, is that you get to think a lot when you're on the road for 5,000 miles in a car with just you and hubby. You know, it's an interesting time. You do a lot of thinking, right? So I like to think. Val and I, for about over 5 years now, have driven into church over 2 hours. It's about 2 hours and 10 minutes to church. I don't mind it at all because I think, I pray, I meditate, I contemplate. This morning, I want to talk to you about how is your thinking. Because I am convinced of this, that what God needs to do in all of our lives, especially today's world, is to reform our thinking, to reprogram our thinking. Everything that really comes across our life, whether we obey or disobey, whether we sin or whether we live obediently, is going to come down to a lot to our thought life. So I'm going to begin by putting up a picture here. All of you should immediately know what this is. What is that? The thinker. Rodin's thinker. When I was in Europe, in fact, a pastor might remember, we went and saw the thinker. We saw this statue of Rodin's the thinker, and it is, of course, a man contemplating, thinking. And we all know that thinking is a very important part of our lives. Well, as I get ready to start this morning, it's going to be a very simple message, but I want to begin by just thinking for a moment that God already had made a proclamation through Isaiah saying, your thoughts are not my thoughts. And I'm just, before I even get into the notes and the Bible version, the U version, all that, I want you to think about that. God does not think like I think. And God does not think like you think. And if you think your thinking is right, your thinking is probably wrong because God doesn't think like you do. He's going to want to reprogram your thoughts. In today's world, when we have all these people thinking and contemplating and pontificating and philosophizing and saying this and saying that, filled with thoughts, their truths, their words, but they're not God's thoughts. Our culture is inundated by all kinds of thoughts of great thinkers, but they're not God thoughts. So in preparing for this message, I always like to go and when I taught up in the school there, I must have given 50 different quotes from politicians, historians, authors, poets around the block. So I thought, I'm going to come up with some great quotes on thinking. So I read over 200 quotes on thinking for this message in preparation, and none of them were worth repeating. I'm serious. None of them were worth repeating because they were thoughts of men. They were simply contrary to everything the Bible teaches. And they're very humanistic, and they're very thought-provoking, but they're not God's thoughts. So I said, forget those quotes. I don't want to do those, but I am going to give you some of God's thoughts and God's verses. So let's begin this morning. I want us to look in our Bibles at Ephesians chapter 3 by intro today. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. When God puts his spirit within us, when we are born again, something new takes place in our life. And when we begin to think, Paul says, I want you to realize the God of all creation, the God of your salvation, who has put his spirit within you, is able to do above what you think. Now, that is just mind-boggling when you think about that for a moment. If we can get God's thoughts working in our thinking, God can do above and beyond that. Now, Jesus frequently, I'm only going to give you two quick verses to show you, and I'm not going to read all these passages, but Jesus frequently challenged the disciples and challenged his listeners about their thinking. Here's two examples of that. In Matthew 18:12, he says, what do you think? And he goes on, if a man had 100 sheep, one of them gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that got away? So Jesus is going to talk to them about the shepherd and the good shepherd going after the lost sheep. But he challenges their thinking. What do you think? That's interesting. If Jesus were in the flesh today and he were to walk with us, do you think he would challenge our thinking? What do you think? I'm sure he would. He would use natural illustrations, current events, all kinds of things. He would say, what do you think? Because he's going to show you that his thoughts are different than your thoughts. In Matthew 21:28, he said, all right, guys, what do you think? If a guy had two sons, he went to the first son, said, go and work in the vineyard today. Parable goes on, and the son said, sure, I'll go, but he didn't go. And another son says, I'm not going, and then he went. And then he says, well, which one did the will of the Father? And the Pharisees finally got it and said, well, the one that went. He said, that's right. He said, that's why prostitutes and tax collectors are getting in the kingdom and you're not. Wow. Wow. What's Jesus doing? Jesus is challenging how we think, constantly, how we think. If Jesus was around today in the flesh, he would talk to us about the issues that we are faced with as a culture in America. Sexual identification issues. What do you think? He'll say, what do you think? Should a man be married to a man? Should a woman be married to a woman? Should a man decide he's a woman and a woman decide he's a man? What do you think? Jesus would say to our culture today, your thoughts are not my thoughts. You see, we have to think not what the culture is saying, not what the world's saying, but what God says. We have to think God thoughts. It's interesting, we live in a culture that is very, very, very particular about what they ingest into their bodies. Every time you go to a restaurant, how many calories? How many fat grams? How many sugars? Is it gluten-free? Is it range-free chicken? Is it antibiotic-free meat? I mean, everything we're ingesting, and people are consumed with getting the right diet. But do you realize that what we're ingesting into our thoughts is much more poisonous than sugar? People are taking into their thoughts, ingesting into their thoughts, media reports, social media reports, gossip reports. And I'm sad to say it, but many times in our education system, our young children from an early age, not just university, are being taught thoughts that are not God thoughts. It's true. Parents, if your kids are in school, be sure you find out what they are being taught and bring them back to God thoughts, God thinking, because the world does not think like God thinks. The education system does not think like God thinks. The political system does not think like God thinks. And unfortunately, many Christians, all of us in the pew, we don't think like God thinks. And we are infiltrated on a daily basis into our thought life. So we read about what we're putting in when our diet, you know, we're vegan or we're vegetables or we're protein or whatever, but we don't think about what we're reading, what we're watching, what we're putting on the video screen, what we're doing on the computer. Church, we've got to get a grip on our thinking, because we are going to be a reflection of what we think about continually. Our thought life is going to dictate our actions. Our thought life is going to dictate how we move and work. So I want to talk about two issues about thinking today, real quickly. I'm going to talk about how do you think and what do you think about. So first of all, let's talk about how do you think. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it talks about the imaginations of our thoughts. Imagination. 1 Chronicles 28:9. I'm reading it from King James because it's one of my favorite verses, and then my daughter, my eldest that's here, I didn't say her age, I just said she was my eldest, she says it's one of her favorite verses too. Thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord, listen, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, he understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Listen to this in the Amplified. Perhaps this will paint a picture of what I'm trying to say this morning. How do you think? Because we can go into our lifestyle, addictive habits, destructive actions, sinful ways. It all is going to come back to how we're thinking. Listen to in the Amplified. All right, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father. Have a personal knowledge of him. Be acquainted with him. Understand him. Appreciate, heed, and cherish him. Fall in love with God. Serve him with a blameless heart and with a willing mind. Listen, for the Lord searches all hearts. He searches all minds. He understands every intent and inclination of the thoughts. If you seek him, inquiring for and of him, requiring him as your first and vital necessity, he will let you find him. But if you abandon and turn away from him, he will cast you off. He will reject you forever. Back in Genesis 6, before the flood came, why did the flood came? Well, the man was sin, but man was sinful and was getting worse and worse. But God said in Genesis 6 that the imaginations of the thoughts of men were continually wicked and evil. That's why the flood came. I wonder what God would say about the thoughts of our lives today. Are we always imagining evil, wicked things? I think we're in a battle, church, and that battle is for our minds. That battle is for our thoughts. That battle is for the imaginations of our heart. God wants our imaginations and our thoughts to be willing and obedient. When he said to Isaiah, he said, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you want to eat the best of the land that God has for you, if you want to have the best of life, if you want to have a full, abundant life that Jesus spoke about, it's going to be with willing and obedient thoughts that produce willing and obedient actions. You will never act out what you're not thinking. You'll never act out what you're not imagining in your mind. When people fall away from God or fall into sin or leave the precepts of God, you can be assured they were thinking about it long before they did it. And those thoughts took root, and those imaginations of their thought led them to activities. We need to think purposefully. In Isaiah 14, God says, I have sworn, says the Lord, I planned, it will be, I have purposed, it will stand. We have to have purposeful thoughts. We need to think. That's why planning is important. That's why goals are important. That's why having a vision is important. I shared this quote with the missionary students that I really enjoyed it, and I haven't got it out of my mind. Oswald Sanders, writing on Christian leadership, he said this. He said, if you have a vision but no task, you're just a visionary or a dreamer. If you have a task but you don't have a vision and thoughts of a dream, then you're just living drudgery, doing your duty. But if you have a vision, that is, you have the right thoughts, and you have a task, you become a missionary. You become an outpost for God. You become a light for God. It really impacted me. The Bible says that the thoughts of foolishness is sin in Proverbs 24:9. So how does God want us to think? He wants us, well, he wants us to think imaginatively. He wants us to think soberly. Paul very strongly says this in Romans 12. After saying, present yourself as a living sacrifice, he says, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Think with sober judgment. Be sane. Be rational. Have common sense about it. What is the saying? Common sense is not very common. That's very true now. We've got to think soberly. We've got to be balanced in our thinking. We've got to be balanced in our thought life. We've got to be aware of God's grace. We've got to be aware of our frailty. We've got to be aware of our weaknesses, but aware of God's mercy. We need to think soberly. We need to think obediently. This verse here I'm going to give you out of 2 Corinthians is very challenging. It's a lifelong process. Nobody has conquered it yet, but this is what Paul said. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. I can't control your thought life. I don't know what you think about, and you can't control my thought life and what I think about. The admonition is to each of us as an individual, somehow we have to say, I need to take captive every thought that comes into my mind, and I've got to make it obedient to the law of Christ. That's what Christian maturity is all about. That's how you grow spiritually. That's how you become all that God intends for you to be, by taking thoughts come into your mind and then submitting them to the Word of God and to the will of God. Take every thought obedient to Christ. We could talk about actions, what we do, what we don't do all day long, but I am convinced it begins with this root thing in our thought life. We need to think spiritually. Again, in Romans, Paul says, those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on flesh is death. To set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Our thought life needs to be on the things of God, and ultimately the will of God, and ultimately the Word of God. We need to think diligently. How do we think? It should be diligently. In Proverbs 21, it says that the thoughts of the diligent tend to plenteousness. but everyone that's hasty only to want. If you are a diligent thinker, you're going to have a productive, fruitful plenteousness that results. We are to think with deep meditation. I like the little statue. I guess it's not that little. The statue of the thinker, because it shows a person in deep contemplation and meditation. Perhaps such was the case with Peter when he was in Acts chapter 10. He was on the rooftop, and God gave him a vision. And listen to what he said, what he did with the vision. While he was thoughtfully considering the vision, the Spirit said, all right, there's three guys here to see you. He was thoughtful. He was contemplating. He was ruminating on this. It wasn't just a passing thought. When things of God come into you, when God thoughts come to you, when God's Word comes to you, when God's Spirit is speaking to you, when God's Spirit is leading you, contemplate on it. Don't let it just get away. Grab that thought. Think about that thought. That's how we should think. We should think thoughtfully with deep meditation. So that's part one. How do we think? Now part two is simply out of one verse, and I'm going to call it, what do you think about? What do you think about? Every day we're thinking. We get up in the morning, we're thinking. We go through our day, we're thinking. We're thinking about the day's activities, what we have to do, what we can't do. Are we thinking about the kids, thinking about the job, thinking about the finances, thinking about our walk with God? I mean, we have so many things going through our mind. Well, what are we going to think about? Early on in the pandemic, Joe, he's been doing a fantastic job, not only teaching, but he's done these men's meetings on Saturday morning on the Zoom things. Early on, I think it must have been probably the first or second month we started those, that he asked me, Pastor Doug, what do you think we could do to really help people through this time? And I gave him this verse. I'm still convinced that this verse is not just a pandemic verse. This is a life verse. What do we think about? Here it is, Philippians 4:8. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. Finally, brothers, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure, wholesome, whatever is lovely, whatever brings peace, whatever is admirable and good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. I like to be aware of what's going on in the world and in our country. And I believe I'm somewhat aware. However, I don't delve into all of the nonsense. I don't read just all the nonsense and all the rotting, and that is not my focus. I'm aware of what the world is saying. I'm aware of what our nation is saying. I'm aware of the pros and cons of this and that. I'm aware of the political arena and the debates and the issues, but I don't study it. I don't make it my main focus. I might glimpse at a few things. If there's something of particular interest, I might delve into a little more. But I really guard my mind because I don't want my mind and my thoughts to be just continually filled with all of the stuff that we hear in media, in social media, and all that stuff. My wife, she's wonderful. She has a great filter, and she's a great Facebook champion and has 1,000 and 2,000 friends. In fact, for her birthday last month, I got her a card. It was the best birthday card I ever found. It says, I know you're going to get 500 Facebook greetings today. You open it up and says, but this is the only paper card you're going to get. It was perfect, you know. So I think maybe Lisa from the church sent a generic one that Pastor Daniel signed. So maybe she got two. But anyway, so she's on Facebook, and she sees all of the banter and all of the issues and all the things and all the stuff. And she just, you know, it just floats off her. I don't want to be consumed with that. Anything that's important, someone had a baby, someone died, someone went to jail or whatever, she'll tell me. But any other than that, you know, I just let her be the Facebook person. And I don't have to get cluttered with that. I don't want my thoughts continually thinking about that. I don't know what I would do literally if I had 500 friends I had to read about every day. I just don't know. They're having a chocolate sundae for breakfast? Wow! I just don't know. I don't know how I would deal with it, really. Now, some people's thought process is so great that they can filter all that through really quickly. My wife is one of those people. Me, I don't want to get cluttered down with that. I have enough things just keeping my own thoughts together. I don't need everybody else's thoughts as well. But Philippians 4:8 is a verse for all of us. Here it simply is, in a few minutes, what you think about. Whatever is true. John 17:17 says your word is true. People's view of truth, people's perspective of truth, people's objective ideas about truth is not truth. Everyone has their own truth. It's not truth. The only thing I know is truth is your word is truth. Jesus said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. The only truth we have, church, is not even our experience or our interpretation of our experience. The only truth we have is the word of God. Fill your minds with the Word of God. One of the things we did when we were at YWAM camp was we filled them with hundreds, literally hundreds of verses. Because an old man showing up talking about his grandkids' stories for 15 hours is not going to do them any good. In fact, my grandson was one of the guys there. I don't think I told one story on him. I missed a great opportunity. But I filled him with the truth. Not my truth. The Word is truth. Fill your minds with truth. Why do we encourage Bible reading? Because we want our thoughts to be filled with truth. The more we fill up in our thought life with truth, the more we're going to be able to live life in an abundant life. Think things that are honest. Romans 12:17 says, provide things honest before all men. The Word of God is honest. Think about honest things. Think about good things. There's a lot of dishonest things to think about, but I don't want to think about them. I don't want my mind dwelling on them. Think about what is just. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines more and more to a perfect day. Think about a just walk. Think about justice. Think about what is right before God. When you start thinking about these things, you begin to rejoice. You begin to be glad. You begin to be happy. You begin to realize that if I can focus my thought, bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, if I can set my mind on things above, not on things on earth, wow, life's not so bad. Life's pretty good. God's done a lot of things for us. I can count my blessings. God's very good. I want to say, what do you want us to do today, Lord? How can we impact the world? How can we impact one life? How can we impact a neighbor? By thinking about things that are honest and just, things that are pure. 1 Timothy 1:5, the end of the commandment is charity from a pure heart. There are so many impure things that want to get into our thought pattern all the time. And when those things get in our mind, it's hard to get them out. When they get in our mind, if we're not careful, they'll be in our action. Impurity and all those things is a result of what we're thinking about. So we need to think pure thoughts. David said back in the Psalms, I will set no impure thing before my eyes. I will guard my eyes. I will guard what comes into my mind. That's where the battle's won. We could sit all day long in a counseling session about someone that wants to change their lifestyle, but if they're not changing their thinking, their lifestyle is not going to change much. They're going to still play it out. They're going to still act it out. So we've got to come back to this. What is just? What is pure? Think about those. And when an impure thought comes, say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to think about those things. I want to think about pure things. That's where the battle is won. Think about that which is lovely, it says in Philippians 4:8. In Song of Solomon 5:16, it says, He is altogether lovely. Think about Jesus. Think about what He's done for you. Think about the cross. Think about His sacrifice. Every time we come and worship, you think about those things. That's why worship is so great. When you see the words, you sing the words, you're thinking about the words, and what's happening? Your faith is rising in your heart. Peace is rising in your heart. God is with you. Whatever has a good report, we're to think about that. Having divine approval. Occasionally across the news screens, a good report will come, but I'll tell you, most of it's not very good. Most of it's pretty negative. Most of it's pretty down. And that doesn't matter if you're MSNBC, if you're NBC, if you're CNN, if you're Fox News. It doesn't matter. Most of the stuff we get has some negative tone to it. It's either attacking or deriding or dividing. It's just not good thoughts. That's just how it is. Again, I'm not saying put your head in the sand and don't be informed, don't be aware of what's going on. We need to. We need to be aware of the issues. But let's not dwell our thoughts on those things. Think on things that have a good report. That was so great this morning. We heard some good reports, right? I like to think about that. I think about Sam, how God brought him through that and all the surgeries, and here he is healthy and strong this morning. And Mark, who's back in church and feeling good and giving a good report. And those are good things, good reports. It's good to report to hear someone like Diana, who's lost a child, one of the most painful things anyone could go through, and yet how the Lord has brought her through. That's a good report. It's a good report. Those things are good to think about. What God has done. Let's see what the Lord has done. Think about virtuous things. The Bible said, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is valor, excellent. What things are excellent? We need to think about those things. Think about things that are praiseworthy. I like this verse in Psalm 149:5. I'm wrapping up here. But I like this verse because other than driving in a car, probably the most place I do a lot of thinking is when I'm just laying in bed, either trying to go to sleep, going to sleep, or getting up in the morning. And it says in Psalm 149:5, let the saints sing for joy upon their beds, praising God in your place of rest. Wow, that's great. You see, the prophets describe the wicked are devising plans, evil plans, while on their bed. The righteous are singing praise and glorious thoughts come to their mind while they're on their bed. While you're at a place of rest, while you're at a place of thinking, while you're at a place of contemplation, fill your thoughts with praise. Fill your thoughts with thanksgiving. Fill your thoughts with words of adoration to the Lord. Pray in the Spirit. Pray with your understanding. Be thankful. Be a worshiper. Be a praiser. And your thoughts will come under the obedience of Christ. Ephesians 3:20 again says, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. I want God to do more than I could possibly think in my life, in my children's lives, in our church. So I keep thinking God thoughts. I keep thinking God prayers. I keep keeping praiseworthy prayers because I want God to do above and above. So God is able to do above what we think. So this morning, let's refocus our thinking on the thoughts of God. I don't have to go around the room and have you raise your hands and say, how many of this would apply to would this apply to you? How many of these people or these things would apply to you people? It would apply to every one of us. It applies to me. I have contemplated, thought, and worked on this message, as simple as it is, for many weeks because it's been gripping me for many months. And I am convinced, as a pastor, that it's the key to either a long, productive, Christian, joy-filled, abundant life, or one of heartache and ruin and dissatisfaction and falling down and getting up and falling down and getting up. And we need this. So this morning, church, I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to have them sing Waymaker in just a moment, come back up and sing Waymaker before Pastor closes. But I want to pray for you, and I'm praying for myself. There's not a one of us that can skate through this and say, ha, that doesn't apply to me. No, it applies to all of us. I'm not immune to this. I don't have the perfect thought life. I'll be the first to tell you, I get thoughts that just go through my mind that I just have to grab them. That's not a good thought. Not a good thought. What are we thinking about? God, help us to think. Would you close your eyes and just everybody, just lift your hands to the Lord, because we're all here. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we say this, Lord, help us. Help my thinking, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, when my thoughts go astray, when they turn selfish or sinful or impure or vengeful, when they want to be unforgiving or critical or harbor bitterness. Forgive me, Lord, for those thoughts. Lord, help my thoughts to be under the obedience of Christ and the truth of your word. Lord, I'm convinced. This morning, Jesus, I'm convinced you're able to do above all that we ask or think by the power that works in us as our thoughts are focused on you. So this morning, Lord, I pray for our young people. I pray for our seniors. I pray for the entire church. Help us to grab hold of those thoughts and bring them to the subjectiveness of Christ, to bring them to the obedience to Christ. Help us, Lord, to be victorious in our thinking. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.
You are here, moving in.